my gosh, it's good to see everyone. Why don't you tell somebody, I'm so glad to see you. My. I think I wasn't with you up here last week, was I? It was Mother's Day, right? That wonderful, special day. Thank Pastor Tiffany for bringing an amazing word last week. How many were here? Oh, awesome. Baby, you must have did good. They all came back. Seriously, it's good to be here, and we are in a series entitled Sozo, and we've been on the pathway of learning what that means for our life. Some of the things we've told you about already is simply this, that it means saved, healed, delivered, made whole, healthy, well. And so if you're here for the first time, grateful that you're here, give those folks a great big warm welcome. You're kind of coming into... the end part of this series. We've got about one more. I'll be with you one more week next week with this. And then I think Hannah will be coming up to you talking about being equipped with a healed body. Just going to have a great time with all of this. Hey, do me a favor. Look out. I don't know if you can see. Point yourself to the camera. They can't see you, but let's welcome our people that are online. Hey, good to have you out here today. Man. Seriously, it is. Just go ahead and get your big cup of coffee, pull up, enjoy with us today, and I promise you that you'll be blessed just like we are. We do miss you here. We'd love to have you sitting in here with us as well. And hey, how about that, man? The mandates are lifted a little bit, huh? Come on. Come on. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's a big deal. And hey, I want to thank you as a church, Coastal Family Church, for just working with us as we navigated some of that here over the past 6 months. I know we had to do some changes with seating and all of that. You guys were amazing. And I'll tell you what I appreciate the most about seeing you, Coastal, your faith. I just saw faith that, to be honest with you, I knew you had it, but I saw a response within it that was just powerful. And that just shows that the Word's working in our lives. And I believe that if we endeavor to continue to do that, what did we say at the beginning of last year? You remember? The weather's going to clear up. Sun's going to shine, huh? Come on. Sun's shining on us right now. Let me get to where I need to be in my notes, and then we'll kick this thing off. Got a little bit of time today. Say it with me. I am equipped with settled emotions. Look at somebody and say, you got a bunch of them. I want to take a look at these two words again this week, and emotions and feelings, and just continue on the pathway to kind of understand those two words. We're going to get into last week, my final time with you on this subject, and we'll learn some more about the application of some of the things we've learned over the past couple weeks together. We'll get into the application side of it. But I really want to just kind of go to a place of source of thinking and where your thoughts are coming from right now today. But here, let's define these words real quick. You look at the word emotion. It's a universal term. We defined that for you. And we said this, that it's a conscious mental reaction such as surprise, happiness. Everybody say happy, happy, happy. Joy, disgust, contempt, sadness, and anger and fear. We remember that quick video. We saw all those different kinds of emotions, real quick, subtle emotions that happen. They're subjectively experienced, means I don't experience the same ones you do. You don't experience the same ones I do. They're individual. And we found this out, that they're a strong feeling, usually directed toward a specific object or typically accompanied by physiological and behavioral changes in the body. And then we look at the word feelings, and we found out that feelings follow the emotion. Okay, we'll talk about it here in a minute more, but it's more personal, it's more interpretive of the emotion, and it's more internal in its response. But here's the definition of it. Mental associations and reactions to emotions colored by our personal past and present experiences and beliefs driven by thoughts and thinking. Isn't that amazing? That an emotion that comes at me, there's a space of time maybe that we'll talk about today between the emotion and the feeling that you're having. But when that feeling shows up, that feeling, you have a response that's necessary, but because there's a lot of thinking and a lot of thoughts that are going on in that moment. And if we're not doing something with this thinking that we've got going on, just help me real quick. Look at somebody and say, you're pretty crazy. A lot of crazy people in the world, and have we seen that in the world today? Absolutely. Have we seen a lot of unharnessed and unleashed emotion? Absolutely we have. I'm not getting political with this. That's not what we're doing. I'm just dealing with something that we all have and that we all experience. And if we're not careful, the world will determine how you respond to emotion and feelings. And the Bible says we're to be led by faith, led by the Spirit of God, not led by emotion, not led by feeling. Emotions are just a gauge to life. But I want to jump up to this scripture real quick, and let's read this out loud together. Laura, I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that verse 11. If you guys can see that, oh, you can see it. I just can't see it back there. Why don't we read this scripture together? Ready? Read. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Or when I became an adult, I put away childish things. You know, just to meddle a little bit here, we live in a small community, don't we? All right? 36,000 people year round. Now, I know that's changing drastically over the next month. But really, that's just not that big of a group of people. There's churches that hold that many people. Not many, but a few. 36,000 people. And it is real easy to know people's business. To know people's stuff. And it's real easy, if we're not careful, to govern what we're thinking on. What he said, she said, you said, I said, they said, everybody said. It's real easy to yield into what I call drama of life. That has no benefit to you at all. We need to back out of the drama of life and really grow up in drama, not have it. Listen, unless it's really life and death, which most of the time people make it think that it is, and most of the time it is not. If it's life and death, absolutely, we want to be there. We want to be engaged. We don't want to, be rude and not beneficial to people. But are we willing to really question some of the things that I'm thinking, saying, and doing about people and around people? That is it really important? Is it lifting them up? Or is it tearing them down? Is it fifth, tenth, 11th party when it comes to you? I'll give you a big word of advice, and I only have a little bit of time. If you've not been told to say it by a really strong source, God, don't say it. That will help you in life tremendously. God, I got this news. So-and-so said this, so-and-so did this. What should I do with it? Keep your mouth shut. Just try it one time. It might work. Here's the process to begin to deal with emotions and begin to deal with these feelings. It's got to start right here. Some of the things that Bryce said will relate to you when we read these two scriptures. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So stop letting the world, the people of the world, and the events of the world, stop letting that be the director of our life daily. Transform your mind to maybe think like God. That's what it says. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now move with me to this second scripture I want you to hear. This is the process to begin to deal with emotions and feelings. It starts right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5 in the Message translation. Kind of pairing up with Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You see, the scripture, the Bible, let me ask you this. How many actually read the Bible this week? Good for you. I'm not going to go any further. But I would like for you to ask yourself, how many times have I read the Bible this week? Have I read the Bible more than 3 times this week? Have I read the scriptures maybe once a day? Just begin to ask yourself those questions, because if we're going to transform and think like God, it will take a little bit more than maybe the once a week or the once on Sunday. You're just not going to know God that way. And it will affect you when it comes to this very prevalent place in all of our lives that we all have, emotion and feelings. And it will be very easy to be led by those without maybe some knowledge of who he is. And here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, we use our powerful God tools, scriptures, for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers, erecting against the truth of God. Then I love what Paul says here. He goes and takes it to another level. He says, fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Guys, come on, let's be honest. Sometimes you can't help the way you feel, but you sure can help the way you respond to how you feel. I'm going to read an article to you. The week before, this was presented to us after that service, and I just thought it's really just a scientific approach to some of the things we're talking about. And I thought it was pretty amazing, and we've discussed it back and forth as a staff, and I went and studied on it some more, and I just want you to see, listen, open up your heart to this thing about emotion so we can begin to understand it. According to Harvard brain scientist Dr. Jill Bolt Taylor, 90 seconds is all it takes to identify an emotion and allow it to dissipate while you simply notice it. When a person has a reaction to something in their environment, such as what we've talked about, surprise, happiness, say happy, 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 joy, disgust, contempt, sadness, anger, or fear, there is a 90-second chemical process that happens in the body. After that, any remaining emotional response is just the person choosing to stay in that emotional loop. Let me explain. When something happens in the external world, something comes at you, one of those quick emotions, on the top of a hill of a roller coaster and getting ready to drop down the hill, you know what I mean. That moment. When something happens in the external world and chemicals are flushed through your body, which puts it in full alert, you go in this mode. Those chemicals to totally flush out of your body, it takes 90 seconds or a minute and a half, 1 minute, 30 seconds. This means that for 90 seconds, you can watch this process happening, you can feel it happening, and then you can watch it go away. Now, this study went a little bit further with this. A minute and a half. After that, if you continue to feel, everybody say feel, different than the emotion. Feeling follows the emotion. Feeling doesn't come first, the emotion comes first. What do you do in that moment? You have a minute, 30 seconds that you got a rush of this chemical going. You can't, you know, it's cool. You can't control that. That's just who you are. That's just part of who you are. You have no control of that chemical that's going. All right? I know this is scientific in a sense, but listen. Because here's how the study went beyond that. You need to look, it says here, after that, if you continue to feel, you need to look at the thoughts that you're thinking that are re-stimulating in circuitry that is resulting in you having this psychological response over and over again, good or bad. Good or bad. So, listen, I'm going to give you a test. We're going to apply this. Minute, 30 seconds. I'm going to cause a response, an emotion within you real quickly. And after that emotion happens to you right now, you'll be able to process it. You'll know it. You'll see it. You'll know what's happening. And after I create that within you, we're going to watch the ticker, the clock up on the screen for a minute, 30 seconds. You'll be surprised how antsy people will get in that minute, 30 seconds. But a minute, 30 seconds in the moment of an emotion, of a life experience that's good or bad, let's talk about maybe one that's negative, a minute, 30 seconds goes by like lightning. Now, it's going to seem like a lifetime now. But when we come to the end of that minute, 30 seconds, I'm going to give you a response to say to the emotion that you just had so that you can see, you can control where you go with this thought or feeling of this emotion. Are you ready? Quit watching me. Watch the clock. Your heart's slowing down a little bit now. Take a deep breath. Come on, take a deep breath. My heart is racing. Say it with me. I don't have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. The emotion snapped you, but you had a minute, 30 seconds. And at the end of that 30 seconds, was that emotion still there? No. How many were starting to think, will this thing get over with? What is he doing? Your mind starts to race. And that's how it begins to happen. But I want to show you real quickly and take you into maybe three or four pathways of Scripture just this week to show you a source of someone that's intentional about that minute, 30 seconds in your life. And if we can recognize maybe two, a good one and maybe a bad one, and maybe choose the good one, of source, of strength, of grace, of peace, of joy, instead of fear, doubt, unbelief, there just might be a way that I can learn next week when we come together and really apply this, that I don't have to be led by the emotion that's happened. It's a gauge of what I'm going to do next, of what might come, and how I can control those feelings so they don't control me. Go with me to John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10, if you look at the scripture in the King James Version, I'm going to use multiple translations today in different scriptures. It says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy," talking about Satan, "but I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." If I'm aware of these two sources now, you are, I've presented the word to you. The thief, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But then Jesus responds in this instruction to his disciples, says, "But I'm coming to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly." If you read the rest of the chapter, he goes on to explain that my sheep know my voice. They're going to know who I am. They're going to know what this means when I'm coming abundantly. And they're also going to know the thief that comes. Now jump with me to James chapter 4, verse 7. Again, two sources that are going to be helpful for me to control and apply maybe something to my feelings so they don't control me. James chapter 4, verse 7, the King James Version says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." So now look, now that I know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and that God's coming to give me life and to give it more abundantly, now I come to James's writing here, and he says, "Submit yourselves to God's knowing then." Submit yourself to, therefore, to God. Resist this one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who? Resist the devil. And the Bible says what? That he will flee from you. So I got two sources. God, devil. Let's just say it this way. Devil bad, God good. All right? Say devil bad, God good. Because listen, we don't want to ignore our emotions. We want to acknowledge that we do have them. They're real. We would be foolish to not acknowledge and just kind of say, "I don't feel, I don't feel, I don't feel," which is what some faith people try to do. "I don't feel, I don't feel." No, we do feel. We're just not moved by what we feel. Moved by what we believe. We're moved by that he said, "I will give you life and more abundantly." Now go into Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Do you mind if we talk about the devil for just a little bit? He's very real. He's actually, the Bible gives us really some instruction today that it's like a war against him. It's a battle against what he's trying to accomplish in our life. Now we know, according to what we learned earlier in our song we were singing, that we are kings and priests. We're seated with Jesus and far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. He has no authority over our life. We know that. But are we operating within that? Are we acknowledging the place that we have as a child, as a believer? Are we giving him place? Are we giving him advantage? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Now, I'm not going to talk about that. I want to do a series on the armor. It's later. But that would be like the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Look, I went two horns. That's not good. The helmet of salvation. Feet shod with the preparation of peace, right? The shield of faith. That's your armor. All of the armor, if you take time to study it, you will find out it all refers back to the scriptures and the word of God. But here, listen, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." The word wiles simply means the method or the road he's planning to take. So Paul says, stand, because the devil has a direct pathway towards you. Now, if you take a commentary of that, here's simply what it would read as a commentary. The devil is like a traveler who travels on a road. He isn't wasting time. I wonder how much time we are wasting. He knows where he's going. He's headed in one direction. And when he gets there, he has one goal he wants to accomplish. He wants to wreak havoc and bring destruction. So here, this begs the question for all of us. Where's he going? If he's going, he's not wasting time, and he's after me, where is he going? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's dig into this just a little bit. Paul here, sharing a letter to the second letter to the Corinthians, he says this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices or his schemes. The word devices means schemes. He says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. If you read this story in context, you'll find out very quickly that what Paul is actually saying, that here's an individual that came against you and me, came against me as a teacher, and came against you as a church, and was insubordinate against us. You don't have the name of the individual here, but said when this person came against us, he resisted us, he rebelled against us, he fought against us, he was bad-talking us, he was not a good person to us. If you read and you find out what Paul is saying here, he's telling this Corinthian church that there is a potential that you could get in a bad heart or bad thought or bad thinking toward this individual because you followed my instruction, you dealt with him and you corrected him, but if you're not careful, you will continue to look at him through those eyes, how you dealt with him, because I need to tell you something. He came and asked for forgiveness. He said, look, this man's asked for forgiveness. Don't walk in unforgiveness, because if you do, you will allow an advantage to the devil, who is directly coming towards you and has one place of direction, and you can only find that when you look at this word devices. Where's he going? Number one, he is coming quick. Number two, he's looking for advantage. You ever heard of the scripture? He's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Quickly coming, he comes with the power of thought and suggestion. You see that in this word. Here's its definition. Primary destination of the devil is to get into a person's mind with thoughts and suggestions, filling it with lying emotions, false perceptions, and confusion. We're in a 52 daily devotional, marriage devotional. My wife and I was with a couple, just trying to, you know, just learning together. And this was in day before yesterday, I think it was. Yesterday. I want you to see this. Listen to what this says. One drop of unforgiveness at a time is how people find themselves hating their spouse. Let me say it this way. One drop of thought of unforgiveness at a time is how people begin hating people. What am I saying? Listen, an emotion comes, but there is a space of time in between that emotion and the next step of response. It will require a response from us, because you know, well, maybe we should say it this way, we will be thinking after the emotion. But what are we thinking on? Are we going to look at that thought through the pathway we've set? Am I renewing my mind to think like God, act like God, talk like God? Tell somebody, time to talk like God. Time to forgive like God. Do you deserve forgiveness? Not in your own self, no. But in the eyes through Christ, you deserve all forgiveness. He paid a high price for you. Listen, I'm not telling you people don't do bad things to us. People do. But what I'm saying is, when we harbor things and it begins to get into our emotional thought life, and we go to that place of feeling and we allow it to run away from us and turn into drama, we are giving advantage to the very one that's coming quickly to take you down. So what do we do? I've got to quickly move on here. We're going to have to shut this down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. Paul, what's your name again? Bryce. Bryce quoted this earlier. He read this part of the scripture. Again, here's this terminology. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Paul's trying to get something across to us, guys. This is not something to play with anymore. We cannot be those people, like the world around us, in our house, in our car, around our friends, around people. We cannot be those people that are just flying off of the handle of emotion and dealing with. Probably the best way to handle this is admit when you do, because you're going to. You're going to respond incorrectly. Anybody had a fail in that area of life? Anybody reaping consequences of a fail of emotion and words you wish you didn't say? Can't take words back, but you sure can stop them from coming. Your words will respond to what you're thinking on, which will be a result of what emotion you allowed to determine your space of time. 1:30 felt like a lifetime earlier. But in the moment of heat, I wanted to respond to my wife yesterday so bad when she told me I had worked on my riding mower too much. She says, "You're on it every weekend, not riding it, trying to make it work." I bought it for $100. I got pride in that. That's the first downfall. Hold on, I got to take 1:30 to gain control of that next thought. Let me read this scripture to you from a commentary perspective, and then I'll close you out and let you go. Hallelujah. Paul uses military terminology to describe the warfare against Satan, sin, emotions, feelings. God must be the commander in chief. Even our thoughts, rational or irrational, must be submitted to his control as we live for him. Come on now. Spirit-empowered believers must capture every thought and yield to Christ. Because in that scripture it says, capture thoughts and imagination. Subject them. Actually, it actually really says in the Amplified, I think it says, any insubordinate thought contrary to the will of God, bring it into subjection to the truth. Now, we'll learn how to do that next week. When exposed to ideas or opportunities that might lead to wrong desires, feelings, and decisions, you have a choice. You can recognize the danger and turn away, or you can allow unhealthy thoughts to take you captive. Capture those emotions and submit them to the Lord. So here's my final question of today, and this will help us next week. Does God have a plan for us to govern and control and understand our emotions? I believe he does. Proverbs 4:20-22. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Everybody say all. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your heart. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. Every head bow, every eye closed. Father, I'm so grateful for these wonderful people in-house and online, and you're just so amazing. I thank you that you're so patient and merciful to us, and as we identify this area of our life that you gave us, it's God-given, it's God-created to feel and to think and to even experience the peace that comes beyond all understanding. They're real. But Father, we all have stepped into that category where we believe we need to grow in this area. So we're grateful that you're teaching us and showing us how. But Father, the most important step that anyone could ever take in their life is coming to where they know you. As Bryce said, to know you and get freedom in you and know that you've got a purpose in their life. If there's anybody here this morning that's in-house or maybe out there online viewing and watching us today, they've never made Jesus the Lord of their life. They don't know about the purpose you have for them. They don't know how much you love them. I pray that right now you begin to maybe minister to their heart, your goodness, and draw them into you. And maybe there's somebody out there that feels like they walked away from this relationship they had with you at one time, and they don't see how they can get back, but they want to come back. Oh, my Father, just remind them that you don't remember their sins anymore. And all we all have to do is just believe and make a confession, and we're where we need to be with you. So I'm going to invite you out there online. I'm going to invite you in the house, to everybody, to just pray with me out loud. There are some people that want to make a conscious decision for the very first time, like many of you already have. And if that's you in this house, maybe raise your hand, give me just a show of a hand, and we want to direct our faith towards you and help you. Maybe you want to maybe get a reboot, a restart. Raise your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to connect our faith with you. If you're in line, maybe just kind of raise your hand on that couch where you're sitting. Let me invite all of you to pray with me now. Say, oh God, I believe that you're real. And you have a plan for me. And a purpose for me. And I want to know you as a in relationship. So I confess Jesus as my Lord. And ask you to forgive me for my sins. And I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Everybody's got emotions and feelings. Let's learn what we can do with them. I'll see you next week. You guys have a great week.
Thank you, Pastor Stephen, for that awesome word today on settled emotions. Hey, real quick, guys, I just want to take a moment to talk to you. If you prayed that prayer with Pastor Stephen at the end there, and you took some time to maybe make a rededication to Christ, or maybe you're making a first-time commitment to Christ, I just want to encourage you to do one simple thing for me, and that is to download the Coastal Family Church app. And once you download the app, if you wouldn't mind just going over to the I Have Decided tab and just clicking on that and then filling out some of that information, what you're doing here, guys, is just giving us some information so we can connect with you, because we want to come alongside you and just encourage you in whatever direction it is. Maybe, like I said, you're making a recommitment or a first-time commitment, and we just want to come alongside you and help you grow and just encourage you here at Coastal Family Church. So please just take a moment to do that for me. Download the Coastal Family Church app and go over to the I Have Decided part. I just got two quick announcements, guys, before we close out this morning's online worship experience. The first one is that we're going to be having our growth track May 23rd at 6 p.m. here at Coastal Family Church in the Aux Room. Normally it's the last Sunday of the month, but this time it is going to be May 23rd, so a little bit of a change up there. But I just want to encourage you, if you know anybody that's been attending Coastal and just been really loving it and want to get more involved and be a part of the Dream Team or just start to know the ins and outs of Coastal, growth track is the best pathway for that. And maybe that's even you. Maybe you've been attending Coastal, or maybe you've been joining us online and you just want to get more involved. Growth track, guys, is the way to do that. Again, it's going to be May 23rd at 6 p.m. here at Coastal in our Aux Room. So come hang out with us. We'd love to have you. And then the last announcement that I have for you today, guys, is that we are going to be taking a Sabbath Sunday. And that is going to be not the next Sunday, but the Sunday after. It's going to be the Sunday after Growth Track. And so what's going to take place is we're just going to give a day of rest to everybody at our church here. We got so much that's going on with our Dream Teamers and them making what happens on a Sunday morning. So we just want to give you a rest. So I encourage you, you got Pastor Stephen's email. So just, just look back at that. And that's what's going to be taking place that Sunday. So we just love y'all so much. And we just want to just give you a rest and let you enjoy that day with your family. So thank y'all so much for being online with us today. And we will see you back next week.